Yes, it has.
What's been going on?
Just work, hanging in there, getting ready for the awesome Texas Frightmare weekend, getting ready for Comicpalooza, of course, and everything else in between.
Yeah, Comicpalooza looks like they finally listened and got some comic creators
in. Yeah, yeah. Neil Adams is a pretty cool one.
Yeah. Now, he's expensive.
Yeah.
But you know, what can you do? The only skin I ever had in those arguments was that he seemed to kind of be a jerk to other artists and kind of guilt them into charging when they weren't planning on it.
Right.
As opposed to, like, dude, charge your fee. I don't care if you do that. That's all good.
Just don't try to, if somebody else doesn't want to, don't force
it. Yeah, if they're charging $5-$10, whatever. You know, you don't go over there and, like browbeat them into charging $30. They're like, well, shit, now instead of a bunch of signatures, I'll sign one or two. Anyway,
how's the baby girl from all that chaos?
She's all better and kind of in trouble right now. So it's the way those things go. Yeah, I'll go a little more in depth on that here shortly. First, let me reintroduce ourselves. This is episode 123 of the Scary Dad Podcast. It is March 4th. And this episode is entitled "We're Back," because we've been gone for a couple of weeks. We had this kind of confluence of things that occurred. It was like an eclipse that made it just straight up impossible to get a show done. And when we normally record, we record two shows at once. And whenever we weren't able to get recorded, then we were not able to record two shows. And then we had a show that recorded, but whenever I zipped the files together, it screwed up the audio on it. Kind of like that previous episode about Frightmare, number one. For whatever reason, the software that I'm using, it's finding spaces, like it's finding gaps, and it's filling those gaps. So it's like...
it's becoming sentient, taking a mind of its own.
It's choosing to do its own thing, so... basically, at the beginning of the episode, you and I are talking just fine, and at the end of the episode, I'm laughing at jokes that you haven't told yet, and it's like, well, all right, that doesn't make any sense. Or it's the other way around, like you tell a joke, and it's like, it's just like, that doesn't work either. So anyway, we are back, and a little just... I mean, the episode is we're back, and we're going to just kind of discuss some things that are going on. But, you know, a couple things about the show. You know, for the most part, except in some extreme circumstances, we always recorded live. We'd get together and record live and, you know, sit down, crack open a beer, and, you know, hang out for a little while together in a room and actually talk about stuff in person. Whenever we moved to this electronic model, it kind of threw me off because there's a learning curve on the software. It's the same software I've always used, but it's just moving the tracks differently, and it's trying to sync things up and adjust levels to where it sounds like we're in the same room when we're really not. So, yes, I know if you're out there are different ways and programs that I could record both sides of the conversation, but the problem with that is that if one side or the other has a technical difficulty, you lose both the entire thing. You can't cut it out, and it just sounds really bad. So we're doing it this way because this is the way that, even though it's kind of a pain in the ass, it's the way that it's going to sound the best. So that's what we're doing. Anyway, I'm going to ask Mr. Gomez to come forward and...
First, the old business!
All right, March 4th, on this date in 1789 in New York, the first Congress meets, and the Constitution goes into effect, and the Bill of Rights is written. So that's three things that got done today.
Okay.
Seems a little bit more important than the shit that I did today, but...
yeah, exactly.
All right, and this date in 1786. That doesn't seem... that's garbled. Anyway, on March 4th, John Adams becomes the second president of the United States.
Fairly significant event, of course.
Big deal. 1837, the city of Chicago is incorporated. Home of deep dish pizza and meat.
And the Blues Brothers.
All right, this date in 1908, the Collinwood School fire in Ohio kills 174 people. And this is one of those things where if you Google it, it's just, there's this picture of this building that's just like this burnt out Hulk. Like it caught them all inside and they couldn't get out.
Okay.
Pretty tragic. On this date in 1966, John Lennon's famous, "Well, we're more popular than Jesus now," statement set the world afire. man, there was all
understandably so for the time period.
Well, yeah, man, they had near riots of people being pissed, and it's weird because it's weird how these things, especially in pop culture, they get taken out of context or you're trying. He was telling the absolute truth. They were popular in places where people had never even heard of Jesus before, but they'd heard of the Beatles, and he was actually making a comment on their fame and their potential influence. But people took it to mean that we're better than, he's like, no, that's not what I meant. Although I'm pretty sure he's an atheist, but still, I mean, even that, you know, you got to be smart enough to know that that's gonna cause some backlash, no matter what.
Yeah, he has. I would think he would have been more respectful.
Right.
What people gave him credit for.
And on this date in 1974, People magazine came out for the first time, which I could have totally done without.
I think a lot of people could have. Now, Weekly World News is another thing, but People magazine, yeah, what that is, why.
Because they're not even really people. I mean, they're people in that they're genetically human, but they're not like normal people. They're celebrities.
Right. It's pop culture.
They're half made out of plastic anyway. So.
More so now than in 1974, but yes, you are correct.
All right. Notable births on this date in 1954. Catherine O'Hara. You might know her from such movies as Beetlejuice,
yes,
and Nightmare Before Christmas, and probably most famously, Kevin McAllister's mom from Home Alone.
Yes.
And I've always loved her. She's hilarious. She's a great actress. That voice is just, when she talks, you know it's her. And
I know this term generally isn't used for actresses, but she's a character actor. She's
very much so.
An excellent character actor, yeah.
Okay, 1961, Steven Weber. You wouldn't really know him for much. He was in TV show Wings.
But I remember that one.
But he was also in the TV remake of The Shining, which was more closer to the book than the original movie. So he's got some horror stuff behind him. 1963, Jason Newsted. Former bass player for Metallica. Now you want to feel old. He's now been out of Metallica longer than he was in Metallica. And the other guy, the Trujillo guy, who still seems like a newcomer, he's been the longest running bass player for Metallica. Now he has been playing bass in all of Metallica's shitty albums. But what can you do? All right. Boom, we'll get a kick out of this. This date in 1962. Simon Bisley.
The Biz himself. Excellent artist, man. I love his
man,
style.
I am so glad I got to meet that guy, even though he was just, like, piss drunk. Which, I don't care that he's piss drunk. It was just like it was, like, 11 in the morning. At Comic Palooza a few years ago.
Well, dude, next time you see Jacob, the Biz, Jacob has some new business cards, okay? The Biz drew his profile pic for the business cards. He did a little mini portrait of Jacob.
Oh, really?
To use on his business card. It is so pimp, dude. I am so jealous that he was able to get that. But he even gave him the original, like, 8.5 by 11.
Wow.
And then he shrunk it down to put it on his business card. It's pretty badass.
That is super cool. Damn. Next time.
Yeah, they hung out with him, drank with him and stuff. And
oh, man. He
sounds like it was a pretty cool deal.
Like, he was a really cool guy. And like I said, you know, he was the me being, look, like, I'm drinking right now. It's Friday. I don't give a shit. Like, I got nothing about it drunk. What was funny about it was he was signing signatures, and he was telling stories, and he was drawing. He was doing a commission, and he had ink on his hand. And, like, he kept trying to go down and autograph a person's comic book, like a Lobo. And, like, all the guys were like, no, don't do it, because you got ink on your hand. And he couldn't figure out why they wouldn't let him sign the book, because he just wanted to move on to the next guy. He's like, oh, like, wiped the ink off his hand, like, did it right. But, yeah, he's super cool. So, yeah, next time he comes in, maybe we need to meet up with him. This date in 1965, Paul W.S. Anderson, director of horror movies and action and sci-fi, mostly critically panned, but some notable ones would be Mortal Kombat, and okay. Most importantly, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen, Event Horizon.
Yes, yeah.
So happy birthday to Paul.
By the way, the cat that I call Sam Neill is still hanging around the house.
Oh, yeah?
His eyes are still all Event Horizon out and stuff, but he's still coming around for milk and everything.
On this date in 1994, we lost John Candy.
That's a sad one, man. That was so heartbreaking when he passed away. Yeah. He was so endearing, just his charisma and his personality and just... Everything that came out from him on screen was just... It made you love that guy. You couldn't help it.
I mean, so many iconic characters, but, you know, especially, like, something stupid like Barf, you know, from Spaceballs.
Yes.
I mean, the thing is, you know, he's like a... He's a walking sight gag for like a Chewbacca sort of thing. But... By the end of the show, you're like, he's a cool character. You know what I mean? Like, he just took that role and had the tail that was, like, lifting up skirts and stuff. And I was like, I can't control it. Yeah, losing John Candy was pretty sad. He's, I mean, just in, like, National Lampoon's Vacation, just the end part where he's a security guard at the
yes, at security guard.
Wally World. Yeah. Sorry, folks. Like...
Park's code. Moose should have told you outside.
So I'm drinking one to John. I'm going to crack one open now. Anyway, that was old business. We'll take a break real quick and come back with the new.
All right, with no further ado.
New business is new business, and this is new
business. Okay, normally I fact-check all the new business that I go through. For example, there was a story that I found that I found out wasn't true about these Siamese twins that were in a legal battle as to who had the rights to masturbate their one penis. But occasionally an article can pop up where, even though it's from The Onion, I have just got to talk about it. I have been a fan of The Onion for a very long time. Unfortunately, I've heard that they're about to go bankrupt. But when Swamp Thing pops up in an Onion article, I've got to bring it up. So I will give a caveat to this story that this is not a real story, but it's still funny to say the least. The headline reads, "Jesus, what is it now?" says man putting down Swamp Thing comic to answer phone call from wife. Okay, local man Todd Bogan reportedly expressed mild annoyance Saturday morning, muttering, "Jesus, what is it now?" in response to being interrupted by an incoming phone call from his wife while trying to read Swamp Thing Volume 3, The Curse. And it's funny because it goes, whoever wrote the article read the comic apparently. "For Christ's sake," says Bogan, holding his finger in place in issue 39, where Swamp Thing is decapitated by a humanoid fish monster before answering the call from the woman he married in 2009. "I do not have time to deal with this crap." "It's always something," added Bogan, who released a long exasperated sigh and shook his head, alternately staring at the cell phone clutched in his hand and the cover of the trade paperback containing issues 35 through 42 of Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run. It just goes on and on. It's so funny, man. But yeah, that was a cool little Onion article. Throughout the brief phone call, he repeatedly said, "uh-huh," as he scanned the store that showed Swamp Thing ripping gigantic finger-like roots from the earth and causing the lake to empty out and wash away the vampires in a rush of water. "Yes, I'm listening," added Bogan, focusing entirely on Alan Moore's prose, which switched the point of view to the painted thoughts of the vampires as the surging water peeled their rotted flesh from their skeletons. And then it ends, sources confirmed that later that night, Bogan received another call from his wife and pretended he had been sleeping when he had really been watching Firefly on Netflix. The Onion has always brought it very well.
The thing is, like, you have to, like, there are those times where you're just like right now, well, I mean, we'll go over it in a minute, but, like, I can sit and I can stare at my phone. I could play Sudoku for an hour, and nobody talks to me. The second I crack open a paperback, it's like, oh, Dad's not doing anything. Let's give him 18 new chores. And it's like, what the fuck? You got all these books and you never read them. It's like, well, if I try, then I end up having to
you get disturbed. Have
to do yard work. What the hell?
Okay, now we're going to go ahead and go over to North Carolina. I found this interesting because I found another story while researching this story to make sure that it was an actual story. I found another one that kind of ties into it that I thought was pretty neat. But in February, a 77-year-old North Carolina teacher died of injuries suffered in a mysterious animal attack. And the interesting thing is, this was in Beaufort County, North Carolina, is that DNA from the animal that attacked her, they can't figure out what it is. There's absolutely no animals indigenous to that area that the DNA belongs to. They have eliminated all the wild animals, bears, alligators, coyotes, everything. And they have no idea what it was that might have attacked and killed this woman. Wow. And while researching that, I found another article from North Carolina from 2017 where 26-year-old told a crypto news agency that she was driving her son to her mother's house when she encountered a werewolf. There are lots of things there. I was about to get out of the car. Looking to the right, I saw what looked like a wolf, but much taller with white or yellowish eyes. Unusual canine howled when the eyewitness got out of the car. She grabbed her son, ran to her mother's door, looked back. The animal seemed gone. She looked back and she noticed that it was running away. It was about 6 foot tall, werewolf with white and yellow eyes, which I thought was kind of neat that that popped up also. Yeah. Okay, when you were a child, how big of a deal did you think quicksand was going to be when you became an adult? If you watched a lot of cartoons and television shows, it seemed as though you really had to watch out where you walked because quicksand was freaking everywhere and it was dangerous.
Remember, there used to be like guides. It would tell you that if you fell into quicksand, like don't move too much and like try to stay still.
Right. Look at Beastmaster, Blazing Shadows, just all kinds of stuff. Have you ever encountered quicksand in your life?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, recently, a 34-year-old man was hiking in Zion Park in Utah when his leg sunk to the knee in quicksand, and he got stuck. He and a fellow hiker tried to free his leg but failed, So the other hiker left the trapped man behind with warm gear and clothing because it was below freezing temperatures and set out to seek help. It took 3 hours for her to finally get service and call 911. They had to come in with helicopters dropped down. The guy had been stuck in the quicksand and could not get out. They found him in stable conditions, but he had already begun having symptoms of hypothermia and exposure. Yeah, quicksand is really a thing. And it can kill you.
Well, I assumed it was. But, yeah, they made it out to be like it was. Dude.
It's going to be really, yeah, you really had to worry about quicksand.
So, did I ever tell you the story about how me, like, I totally jacked up my cousin, got him scared for no reason, and it was just a funny thing to do? So, I was probably, like, 11 or 12, and he would have been, like, 4 or 5, and his brother's, like, 2 or 3 years younger than me, and they came to visit, and I don't know why it popped into my head or what I thought I was going to accomplish, but basically, the three of us were walking, and our house was next to this easement, so, like, between our house and the house next door to us, there was, like, I don't know, 50 yards of empty space. And we used to go play football out there and, you know, ride our bikes and whatever. Well, we were walking across that easement, and for whatever reason, I just, like, just kind of, like, hopped out of the way and was like, whoa, okay, man. And they're both like, what? And I was like, well, you got to watch out for the holes. And my older cousin, Aaron, he just kind of, like, jumped right into rhythm. He's like, gotcha. And Eric's like, what? I was like, dude, there's bottomless pits, like, randomly all over the world. And if you're not careful, you fall in them and you'll just fall forever. And he, like, looks around the spot. He's like, well, I can't tell. I was like, well, that's because you're little. It's like, you don't live around here. Like, if you, once you know what you're looking for, then you'll see them and you got to be careful. And, man, he got scared. And we just played it all. Well, anyway, I had forgotten about it. It was like, so I think that was the last day they had come to visit us. So they left, and they lived in Arkansas. So, like, they drove. And so it was like 2 days maybe. I was sitting in my room playing with my G.I. Joes. My mom comes in. She opens the door, just kind of stands there and folds her arms. And she's like, now tell me about these holes. And I'm like, I had forgotten about it. So I was like, what? She's like, your cousin Eric refuses to go outside, refuses to walk, just refuses to do anything, and he's terrified of falling through the, like, through the bottom of the earth. I'm like, oh, that is awesome.
I used to love messing with my kids with stuff like that, dude. It is so much fun. Tommy Jonigan tells this story about one of the stand-up comics and also a podcast I listen to from the local news podcast. His dad was an over-the-road truck driver, and he used to go for, you know, months riding around with his dad in the truck, just bringing his dad delivered mattresses. And he says that on one of the trips, one of his cousins came with him, and they're in California, and you know how they have all the windmills and everything through certain parts of California? The dad starts telling them that, you know why all those windmills face the same way? And they're like, why? He says, because they hold California up against the United States. If it wasn't for those fans pushing it, then California would just fall into the water. And Tommy Jonigan says the next year, he's with his dad, and they're on the same route. And his dad goes, remember that time I told your cousin that those things are fans holding up the state of California? Tommy Jonigan's like, they're not? I went to school and told all my friends that that California is about to fall into the ocean. Okay, and last, we'll close out with this one. We recently had a passing in the horror community, old school one. Beverly Owen, who played the original Marilyn Munster on The Munsters, has died at age 81. She passed away on February 21st after battling ovarian cancer, surrounded by friends and family at her home in Vermont. Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster, reacted to the news over the weekend, remembering Owen as a sweet soul. Brief acting career began in 1956 on an episode of As the World Turns, appearances on Wagon Train, Virginia, and Another World, but it was the Munsters that brought her recognition. Everybody remembers Marilyn Munster as the very cute niece of the of Herman
she's
Munster.
She's the one that was so ugly she couldn't get a date. They couldn't understand. It's like, poor baby. She's never going to get married.
Yeah. But she has passed away at the ripe age of 81. And that's what I got.
In the dark of the night, something strange is going on.
You see that movie, Night of the Living Dead?
Sure.
They ship those bodies. Well, say hello.
The dead have risen from the grave.
Mister, there's 100 of those things out there.
How many did you say?
100.
And now the question is, how do we get them back into the ground?
Bert, Frank, we have a little problem.
Four left, 10 right. No.
Puzzle. Because technically, you're not alive.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains.
How do you kill something that's already dead?
Well, how do I know, Fred? I don't know. Let me think.
It's not a bad question, Bert. In that movie, they destroyed the brain to kill him. Is that what they did?
The brains, right.
Brains.
Military is nervous.
How was your day?
Usual crap.
The police are confused.
Send more cops.
It worked in the movie.
Well, it ain't working now.
Bring the movie live.
It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert. It's not a bad question, Bert.
The Return of the Living Dead.
So, you want me to go first?
Yeah. Go ahead and kick it off.
Excuse me. Okay. So, we ran into a scheduling snafu. Because I was supposed to be going out of town for a week. I have to do a giant pep rally every couple of years for work, and it's in Las Vegas, and it's a week-long program, week-long conference. And this year was the year. Well, we were supposed to go last Monday, the week before the last week of February, sorry. So Monday morning I was supposed to fly out. Sunday afternoon my daughter started feeling bad, and she was saying her tummy hurt. And then by Sunday afternoon, she was really hurt. So we decided to take her over to urgent care and get her checked out. And it turned out she had this like viral infection in her stomach. She couldn't keep food down. So we thought we were going to get sent home with some medicine. And the way it turned out was she couldn't eat or drink. So they put her on IVs and admitted her to the hospital. So, like, it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock Monday morning. I'm supposed to go to the airport. I've got a flight leaving at 10. I'm like, well, my daughter's in the hospital. I'm not going to that. So, long story short, because it was one of the longest weeks of my life, but she was fine. Like once they got her on the medicines and everything, she was pretty much her normal self. She watched TV. She was fine. We were stressed out. I've picked up a few gray hairs, and But to add insult to injury, on top of it all, my mother-in-law is watching my younger one, and I guess it's like Tuesday or Wednesday. She's like, "Hey, the younger one's got a fever, so you need to take her to the doctor." I go to the doctor. They stick a Q-tip up her nose. Come back. They're like, "She's got the flu." And it's like, you gotta be kidding me! Like this, just in. She did not have a very severe case of it. Luckily, she had gotten her vaccines, and so it was a diminished bit of it. So by Friday, everybody was home and relatively healthy, and everybody's good. But on top of all that, I was not prepared to, nor was my mind in the right place to talk about funny horror stuff. So we didn't. We haven't recorded something in a couple of weeks. And because of the way our schedule works, it led to a lapse that I really wish wouldn't happen, but, you know, life has to happen, so.
And, of course, a lot of that also has to do with my recent job that I just started. The way the scheduling works, it's not your standard 9-to-5 job. I was just funny she mentioned that, because I was going to ask about the new family member.
Well, let's take the whole, like, daughter getting sick out of the equation. Let's take that completely out of the equation. Let's assume that that didn't even happen. I was out camping about a month ago, and my wife has this way of sending me, of messing with me when I'm out of town. So she'll send me pictures of things. She sent me a picture of a dog and was like, "I want a puppy." And she's done that. Like, our other dog's like 12 years old, so for 12 years, she's done that, like, periodically. And no, like, we're not doing that. And you're just fucking with me, right? Like, well, for whatever reason, this one wasn't, she wasn't just fucking with me. So, we got a puppy. In fact, we brought that puppy home on Friday before the Sunday that my daughter went in the emergency room. And, of course, as, you know, when it rains, it pours literally. We bring a puppy home, then it starts raining. So our entire floor in the house is covered in mud, and the puppy doesn't want to go out.
Right.
And so it's just like, our life is so busy anyway, with two kids and homework and, you know, all of it. So, so there's that. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. Let me just stop there. I'm just gonna start getting the old man grumbles and start ranting like Alex Jones. Which, by the way, I don't know. This is not a plug, but if you haven't listened to the Joe Rogan podcast where he has Alex Jones on there, kind of trying to defend himself, it is spectacular.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Joe is trying to give Alex Jones is in like several anti-defamation lawsuits. He's been deplatformed from all of these social media for all these different reasons. And Joe Rogan, who's probably one of the most balanced and calm human beings, is giving this guy a platform to like make his case. And like, every 5 minutes, he snaps out and just goes on these big, long rants. And he's talking about, he's like, they got pig, human pig hybrids, and aliens, interdimensional beings, and all this stuff. And Joe keeps having to talk like Alex.
Stay on topic. Like,
stay with me. It is truly a piece of modern art. It's incredible. I've never listened to Alex Jones's show. I've never been a fan. Like, I barely even knew who he was until he started getting kind of the book thrown at him. But man, like, the dude could be talking about, like, you know, a new brand of soft drink, and he just, like, he'll be like, "Oh, I think Coke's better than Pepsi." And you're like, "But Pepsi's pretty good." He'll be like, "Let me tell you something, bitch! I know! 1943, the Tuskegee experiment, blah, blah, blah." Just like, oh, God! Deadman says that I sound like him. I'm like, oh, God.
But you sound like the calm Alex Jones, not the firebrand.
Oh, man. Why are they putting chemicals in the water to make the frogs gay? Oh, God. Anyway. That's what's been going on in my life, dude.
Well, with me, like I said, with the split shift thing, just we lost our night that we were doing our regularly scheduled recordings because of the way I work. There's no nights off. Even if I just stay home without going out and about, I kind of can't get away from the phone and everything else because I got 17 people working for me at different locations from Humble to Baytown. And you never know what's going to pop up. A compactor goes down. I got to go on location, see about fixing it. Somebody calls in to, I had a guy, we start work at 8, and he's let me know at 7:15 and 7:30 respectively that he was not coming in. So all of a sudden, I got to try to hurry and find somebody to cover the properties that he works, and it can get pretty hectic as it is right now, but hopefully we will have a way to get back on track. So, and also my health, as a lot of people know, I have Crohn's disease. And it's been having some setbacks with it as of late, but hopefully that'll start turning around too.
The health thing is, I mean, the jobs come and go, you know, but the health, I mean, you can deal with it. It's frustration. The health, you got to be careful, man.
Yeah.
It's like, there's just no, you've only got one you, so you got to be careful. Well, I do have to say, in the few weeks since we met, I did manage to catch a couple of movies. Have you ever seen the Ritual?
No, I have not.
That's the Netflix.
Okay.
It's about these British dudes that are on a hike in like Ireland somewhere, and I thought it was pretty good, but. Pretty good in an interesting what is going on sort of way. I was not scared even a little bit. So that's one of those things that was like, okay, well, I'm quite interested here, but oh, okay, well, they're walking through the woods and something's hunting them. It's almost kind of like watching Predator, but you know by being called the Ritual that it's not the Predator.
Yeah, something supernatural.
Yeah, and they're not highly trained commandos.
I've been watching several new. I've been watched since I was stuck in bed. Binge watched a few different Netflix series, but nothing too horror related. But what I've noticed with a lot of these Netflix original series, even where, in my opinion, it shouldn't be there, they seem to want to be woke.
This one didn't have any of that.
Well, even like in The Mist, I don't know if you've seen the sci-fi series The Mist on Netflix yet. Even that one is trying to be a little woke. It was okay. I watched the whole first season. It was similar to the movie, but not. It wasn't, you know, an exact copy of the story by Stephen King. It's just kind of loosely based on it. The same type of situations going on. They just have different people in it, different groups. It's not only set in the grocery store. There's like three different factions spread out around town that are converging upon each other to meet. It's an all right series. It didn't have the horrific ending, of course, as the movie did. That just
Right. Absolutely
heartbroke me. I've watched that. I've watched another one called 7 Seconds, which is a good crime-based one. And then I watched Anne with an E, which I'm ashamed to say that I've watched it. Not really ashamed to say, but I actually thoroughly enjoyed Anne with an E. I thought it was great. It's a Canadian drama that Meg would probably like as well. You might want to check into that one, but it's a pretty neat little show. And I rewatched Happy again. You haven't seen Happy yet, have you? I rewatched Happy again because, you know, whenever I binge watch these shows, I'll watch several episodes and fall asleep. And then not exactly, you know how it'll keep playing episodes while you're sleeping and you got to figure out where you were. I knew that I had missed some stuff, so I went back and just rewatched it and everything. And that series is so good, man. Happy is excellent. It's graphic and bloody as hell, but it's a good, good series.
Let's see. I went back and watched Bubba Hotep, which I had
awesome.
Like, I don't, honestly, it's kind of like Halloween 3. Like, I'd seen most of that movie at different times, but I don't think I'd ever watched it front to back before.
Okay.
Because you'd mentioned stuff, and I'm like, I don't remember that. But then I'm like, think about it, and I'm like, well, I remember the zombie, or like the mummy zombie guy. I remember him, and I remember the smoking nurse, and I remember the Elvis blowing up his trailer. So, like, I've seen, but never put all together before. So, but no, that was a good one. That was a lot of fun. I liked how it took this just super bizarre and kind of ridiculous concept and kind of at the end it just made it weighty, kind of like he ended up sacrificing and making it a life worth lived, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't just pass away in a convalescent home with a growth on his dick. Did you see the stuff coming out of the toy fair?
Yes, I did see some of those awesome figures coming out of there. The Season of the Witch figures I like the most. Those are the ones that
especially I like Tom Atkins. That's badass.
That was pretty awesome, man.
The one,
but yeah, they had some great figures that they're coming out with.
Yeah, the one I'm most excited about is the Friday Part 5, the Roy Burns.
Yes,
that's just one of those things, kind of a sticking point as far as like, why do you care so much about that? But again, Friday Part 5 was probably the first. Looking at the video covers, it was certainly the first Friday that I'd ever seen where my friends and I rented it, because it was the newest one back whenever it came out. And I don't know or think that I really cared. All I knew that, like, there was the Jason with the red chevrons on his mask, and then there was the one with the blue. And the blue one always looked just a little more sinister because they were upside down and kind of just funky looking. And,
right.
To me, that one counted too. And whenever they came out with the Part 5, where they gave like five different masks, including the cover helmet that nobody ever wore, but then they didn't throw in those blue chevrons, I'm like, dude.
Give some respect. Well, you know, a lot of people hate that movie, and they hate the Roy Burns character, but like we've said on the podcast before, when you look at how the movie's progressed, that plot made the most sense.
If you're in a writer's room, that's really the only way. You're just like, it's...
Yeah. Unless you're just saying, screw the rest of them. You know, let's just make a standalone movie. Make Jason, he can't die. That Part 5 plot line makes the most sense to continue this story.
So. The clothed Sam from Trick or Treat, where he's got the removable burlap. Yeah. That looks super cool as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks pretty neat. I got it pulled up right here, as a matter of fact.
So I'm guessing Nika's probably going to do, like, it would be cool if they did a Part 1. Had, like, the little drowned boy Ari. Because I'm sitting here looking up on my windowsill. Cool. Yeah. I've got 2, 3, 4, and 6. And I will certainly get the Roy Burns one with the blue chevrons, but that would be cool to have the little Ari.
And, you know, Nika's being sold by Target now, so hopefully the prices may start coming down too on those figures. Granted, with the detail and everything in them, they're very much worth it. They have the same details as McFarlane.
That was another thing that came out, was that McFarlane's going to start doing DC Comics superheroes.
Yeah, which is pretty exciting to see what he's going to come out with. Because I can see a Swamp Thing definitely coming out for sure, especially with the TV series coming out.
Which, I don't know, like the DC's been doing all right with like the multiverse and kind of stuff like that, but God, those things are expensive. You're talking about these guys. Like the Jasons. Yeah, but look, Jason comes with like four different heads. He comes with articulated weapons. He comes with accessories. And
yeah,
and the box is just like super cool. It's like I am not a keep it in the box sort of guy, but with the Jasons, I almost want to because the box itself looks like a display piece. With like the DC Comics multiverse, like those boxes don't look good. You want to get the figure out of there, but the thing costs $22, $25, and it's like for what? For a little 6-inch action figure? It's not. It doesn't make sense, the cost, you know. If McFarlane gets a hold of them, that'll be a different deal. There's certainly some figures I would like to get, especially if he does a Black Manta. That would be badass. Manta's cool, man.
Oh, yes, he is. Did you see the Celebrity Fan Fest in San Antonio? They pretty much having, you know, half the cast
from. Yeah.
Aquaman is going to be there. Yeah, they're starting their Marvel announcements now, which they're throwing some money down on that one, dude.
All the troller vision on Captain Marvel. Not on Shazam, but so on Captain Marvel.
Kind of yeah, I'm Shazam. Sick of that kind of stuff, man. It just Shazam I'm looking forward to. I'm looking more forward to Shazam than Captain Marvel personally, but it has nothing to do with Brie Larson or anything like that. It's just,
well,
to me, it looks like
more
of a fun movie, and I prefer
Shazam. That's, like, I remember growing up when I was a little kid, like, I had Shazam, like, 1, 2, and 3 in a magazine rack in, you know, my parents' bedroom. My dad just had them for some reason. Which, that Shazam series was from 73. I was born in 75, so I'm sure they were just floating around the house, but you know, like, I've never read Captain Marvel, the Marvel version of Captain Marvel. She became a thing after I was no longer into comics. You know what I mean? Like, when I came back to it, I only followed certain, mostly on DC side. The end of Avengers, when he calls her in. And then, of course, what movie was it? Was it Guardians of the Galaxy, where they the Adam Warlock guy?
Where
they're fighting the Nova Corps, and then like the gold people have the incubator to give birth to like Adam Warlock. Captain Marvel.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, is the same as like Adam Warlock. It's like that is cool because those are some like jump out of the box like crazy characters to use, and you know whenever they show up that shit's about to go down. But at the same time, I didn't think that Ant-Man was very like what, Ant-Man really? But Ant-Man was awesome, so.
Certainly. I like Paul Rudd.
Well, the movie
Paul,
itself
cast
is really good.
Very well. Paul Rudd's awesome.
And so, like, I you know, the troller coaster with Brie Larson and everything. It's like, dude, you okay? Fine. If you're worried about people like her turning their fame into a platform for wokeness or whatever, but you're doing the opposite. You're doing the exact same thing in the opposite direction. It's like she can't say a single thing without you jumping on her and like being offended and outraged. It's like you are just as bad as the people you claim to hate, so quit it. Like, let Captain Marvel come out and let it be good or let it not be good, but don't sour it with your crap.
Right. Well, I'm sure you also saw that the new Critters.
Yeah, I saw a couple of things about it. I haven't looked very close.
Well, there's a group that I'm in that's dedicated to Critters, and people have just been slamming this new Shudder series like crazy, and apparently one of the guys, the actual puppeteer that designed the puppets, is a member of this group also. So he kind of came out and just absolutely went off on all these people, saying, you know, you saw one trailer, you've seen nothing of a series, yet you're out here just totally slamming this project by these people without giving it a chance. And that
well,
just happens
there's certain
plus.
Things like It's funny, if you go to YouTube and like Google, or you know, YouTube just about any movie trailer from like the 70s or 80s, like all these movies that we love, it's like go look up Empire Strikes Back. Like look up a trailer for Empire Strikes Back. They basically tell you the whole damn movie in the trailer. And it used to be like that, where they tell you like almost the whole story in the trailer, and then you'd go see the movie too. Now it's like, I'd almost not want to make a trailer, or I'd make a teaser, and not really show the, because like, well, I'm a big, you know, I'm not a huge fan of it, but like I enjoyed the Friday the 13th reboot, the 2009, right? And the truth of the matter is, it's better than a lot of the original sequels. I mean, it was a pretty brutal installment in the Friday the 13th lore. The best part about that movie, though, was the trailer. Because you didn't really know what you were looking at. It was just like somebody walking through the woods and then walks up to a lake. And the moonlight's over the lake looking at a house with a light on. And then it's like, you know, 2009, it's like, ch-ch-ch. It's like, oh, man, really? Like, no way. They're doing Friday, you know, like that. So you didn't have to see the mask. You didn't have to see the bag head. You didn't have to see any of it. It was just like, that was enough to make me want to go see that movie. If you're doing a Critters thing, just stay off the special effects, Don't reveal so much in the trailer so that people have a damn opinion.
Well, that's just it.
That's all I mean by that, yeah.
Right. Now, one thing I did see since you and I...
Oh, how was that?
I can't believe I forgot about this, but I did go see Glass. And I went ahead and I watched Unbreakable and Shattered again the weekend before we went to see it. And, you know, a lot of people were... The biggest complaint I've seen about it were people saying it was too comic book-like, quote-unquote. I thought it was cool. I was like, what do you expect it to be? I mean, it's pretty much what it's supposed to be is comic book-like. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, James McAvoy and Bruce, you know, he's just a great actor. Have you ever seen Shattered, the part two? Okay, you gotta watch that one before you see Glass. I'll be honest, because you have to understand that James McAvoy character. And he's in Shattered, he is absolutely amazing. And he's able to do it again in Glass and... I liked it a lot.
The stuff I've seen from it looks like it's cool. And again, it's like too comic booky. That is not a freaking review. You know what I
mean? But you got to watch Shattered before you watch that reading one, for sure.
The novelization of Gremlins.
Well, yeah, how's that going? You told me how cool it was looking.
I answered a bunch of questions. I'm getting close to done. I'm about three quarters of the way through, so I should be done by tomorrow. The coolest part about it to me is that it explains the Mogwai and their rules. So, I've read some stuff that's like people are pissed that it's like, how would you possibly... In this one, basically, Gizmo is a... genetically created alien creature. And so, what it was like, there's an inventor, and he creates Mogwai, and they are basically immortal. So Gizmo's essentially immortal. Like, light will kill him, and all of that stuff. But he created these creatures, and they're very gentle and adaptable, and they're very friendly. And he created these creatures to essentially be ambassadors for peace in the galaxy. And so he created a bunch of them and sent them out, but without realizing their defects. And so the defects are the way that they reproduce. Because they weren't supposed to be able to reproduce. They were just going to be like this one sort of immortal creature that's, you know... But the way they reproduce, and then the feed them after midnight, so they turn into the gremlin. The alien creator who created them ends up getting ripped apart because, he's punished for this because he sent these things out untested or without realizing their defects. And but anyway, so Gizmo's like thousands of years old. And I was reading this thing. It's like people are like, "Oh, how is this an alien?" Blah, blah. I was like, "Dude, how is it that you have a single specimen of a species that's undiscovered, and he breeds by water, and he doesn't want to breed, right? Like, that doesn't seem like. Of course, it has to be some kind of alien, or like that. That's the thing that makes the most sense." But apparently, the guy who wrote the thing had not seen a final screenplay. He was given basic notes, but the book reads just like the movie, with the exception of the explanation at the beginning of where they come from, and then there's conversations between Gizmo and Stripe in the book. They can communicate with each other. So after he gets the water spilled on him and Stripe and the other four pop out, Stripe knows that there's secret knowledge that Gizmo has. Gizmo knows, like, all of these answers, and Stripe wants the answers because he's pissed because Gizmo's immortal and Stripe is not. So he's like, how do we reproduce? And Gizmo's like, I'm not going to tell you. He's like, how do we get powerful? He's like, I know there's a power inside us. How do we find that? And Gizmo's like, I'm not going to tell you. And the truth is that when Billy feeds him after midnight, Stripe, the other Mogwai didn't know that. They were trying to figure it out. They didn't know. Stripe,
okay, they were just hungry.
Somebody left on a lamp, and it was hurting their eyes. And Stripe was pissed, so he's trying to figure out how to turn it off, and he pulled plugs out of the wall until the light went off. And that's how the clock turned off. And then, they got fed, and then Stripe, wakes up in the cocoon, like, what the hell's going on? But the scenes in here, especially, the high school teacher that was studying the one, oh man, he gets tore up. It, the scenes are really brutal. The death scenes are awesome. But yeah, the three-fingered claw, he grabs him around the shoulder and then gives him a big hug around and rips him open like that. It's like, this was a children's book.
Jesus, man.
This is a children's book. but yeah, I should be done with it tomorrow. But it's thoroughly, I'm enjoying it. It's just like watching a movie. With those extra couple of things, with the conversations between Gizmo and Stripe, which I think it makes it a lot more interesting. So, but yeah, in the absence of podcasting, I've been able to actually ingest some horror. So,
okay. Well, we can close it out if you want to go ahead and talk about a few of the your literary works.
All right, let's see.
That are out there available.
By the
right
time
now.
This comes out, The Wrong Roads will have been funded by Kickstarter. and I'm not sure of a release date on that one yet. But The Wrong Roads is an anthology where there's 50 stories, one for each state in the U.S., and it's like messed up road trips. So I represented Texas in that one, and that one's coming out soon. Valentine's Day.
Fucked up Texas road trips have been done already many times. Is it fucked up Texas road trips have been a part of the horror genre for a long time?
This one's actually a true story. This shit actually did happen. then I've got on Valentine's Day, a book called Gorgasm came out. And just for kicks, I'll find it on my phone. I'm going to read you a review on Gorgasm. because this was pretty funny. So what Gorgasm is, it's erotic horror. And several of us submitted stories, and then the book came out. But the Amazon description says that this is like not safe for work. Like this is a rough. So this is our best review for Gorgasm here. This is by Tiffany S. on Amazon.com. She says, I'm going to preface this review by saying I really enjoy dark and erotica, dark romance, so I'm used to reading and liking content that a lot of people wouldn't. I can separate fact from fiction and don't get offended by dark and disturbing content in fictional stories. This one is a different kind of collection of stories for me. When it says Gorgasm contains the most vile tales of lust the human mind can conjure, they're not lying. There's no romance, at least in the stories I've read so far, and I can only read a few at a time before I have to take a break. After finishing most of the ones I've read, I found myself asking, did they really go there? This collection is not for the faint of heart, easily offended, or easily disgusted. It's also not for people who want romance or a lot of plotline. However, if you like depraved or straight sex-to-sex over substance kind of story, you'll find yourself... will I finish this collection? I'll say yes. If for no other reason than curiosity about how much further the remaining stories will go and what boundaries they will push. So that one's out right now. Okay. And now, this year, I'll be submitting to a few more anthologies, but... I have this project that I've been working on kind of off and on for the last several months, which is trying to get my own book published, essentially, my own stories. And I've got several of them that I need to write and finish. So I'm trying to balance my working for a project and working for this project and stuff. So as soon as I can get this kind of done and out of the way, then I'll kind of broadcast out some more. But it's been busy. It has been busy.
Okay.
But I think that pretty much does it for 123. So yeah. I guess until next time.
At that time.
Cool.
Keep it scary. Later.